Our next presentation, presenting author, is Dr. Riar. He's going to shift gears a little bit and talk about cotton. The floor is yours.
Thank you very much. And I'm not going to shift a little bit. I'm just going to shift a little bit more. From agronomic production systems, I'm going to talk about a bit about agriculture systems. So my today's topic is about the impact of long-term management practices on soil chemical properties. Before going into that, I need to explain the little bit of our experiment setup so that we can understand the result I'm going to present later. So my presentation will be like in two parts. In first part, I would like to explain all the experiment setup, and then we will go into the results for the better understanding. To start with, I think all the audience in this room will be agree with me that we need the agriculture production systems which are highly productive. That's our dream as agronomists. And then, but not only highly productive, we also need a sustainable and economical viable without compromising the ecological balance of the globe. So one way to achieve is that to find out what different options we have and then stitch them together to find a very sustainable model. So that's our motto of our institute, is that excellence for sustainability. We have some evidences from temperates. I assume that some of you are aware of about the dog trials, which is now 40 year old. And we got some promising results for our different agriculture systems. But the evidence from the tropics are quite rare in terms of long-term comparison of agriculture systems. And tropicals are very important for us because that's where half of the population, or more than half of the population of the globe, is going to be live by 2050. And 80% of the smallholder farmers are in the tropics. With all these things, our FIBAL, Research Institute of Organic Agriculture Switzerland, started this farming system comparison trials in tropic in 2007 and 2008. We started these trials in Kenya in 2007, in India, where we are in this presentation. I'm going to focus on India, but just for your understanding, I'm explaining it a bit. And in Bolivia, in a humid climate, about cocoa. So that's our setup in general. This is our website. So for more information, you can go into that. About India, so this is our project location. The project location is in the traditional cotton belt of India, so called Madhya Pradesh. That means the central state, so very much in the center of India. It's a semi-arid tropic zone. Agriculture systems are animal fiber and food crops. Food crops is mainly soybean, wheat, and then the fiber crops are the cash crops. So in this long-term trial, we set it up in 2007. We are comparing four different agriculture systems: biodynamics, organic, conventional, and BT conventional. I call it BT conventional. It is the only difference between conventional and BT conventional is that in GM cotton or BT conventional, we use the genetically modified BT cotton. That's the only difference. I also want to make you aware that when I'm saying the long-term trial, it's just only about 7 years old now. So it's not very long, but still we call it long-term, as we're hoping to go in like for 30 or 40 years, depending upon the money. So the crop rotations in India are the cotton. So it's two-year crop rotation. First we grow the cotton in a 1 year. It's a year-long crop there. And then we grow the soybean, and then after soybean, it's wheat. Difference in agriculture system in relation to crop rotation is that we also take green manure in the organic systems to fulfill the nitrogen requirements. This is a Google image of our long-term field trial. We have two strips, 32 plots, four application of each system, like four block system, four applications, and then in one strip and in 1 year we grow cotton. And then simultaneously it goes in under soybean and wheat. And then the next year, the strip changes. So we are not missing the years in that way. So every year we harvest all those three crops, but we still maintain that crop rotation. It's a quite complex design. The analysis I done for this presentation is with the GLM, but I'm also planning to use the mixed models. But I'm pretty sure it's not going to change the results. Little bit about the management practices. It's as I said that the difference between between the conventional BT is that we have this BT gene there. Otherwise, we try to make it agronomically similar as much as we can. Another main difference is the fertilization. In organic system, we use this compost, de-oiled cakes for rock phosphate and biodynamic preparations. In biodynamic, in organic, we just use the compost, de-oiled cake, rock phosphate. In conventional and BT conventional, we use farmyard manure and the other fertilizers. We don't use farmyard manure every year. We use the farmyard manure when we grow the cotton. So that's the traditional practices in India. So it's not like, so in a way, it's not totally conventional, or it's not totally modernized. It's still getting some carbon through the farmyard manure. And then we have intercropping in the organic systems. We take the green manure in organic system, and then the main difference is weed management and crop protection. So for crop protection, we use these synthetic pesticides and herbicide in conventional systems, and on the other hand side, we use these organic pesticides, and manual weeding is the weed control system in these organic systems. As we are going to talk about soil, so the soil is a beautiful vertisoil. It's very deep, about two meter deep soil there. And these properties are from like 2014 study when the pH was it's slightly alkaline, and soil organic carbon is about 0.7 and 0.4% in top and subsoils. You can see the topo sequence of the soil we call it Nimar region as well. So it's that vertisoil is very deep. It's 2 meter deep where we grow these things. So I'm going to explain the soil chemical properties, but just to understand that what's happening in terms of the results in those years. So in cotton, we just get only in 2013, when there was a heavy pest attack, we got a significantly higher yield in BT systems, where all the other systems was a bit lower in the production. And then in the first two or three years, it was slightly lower in the organic system when they were under conversion. But apart from that, the yields are comparable. And yeah, there is a publication in PLOS One about this these yield trends. And then for soybean, we found no difference in all the years. It's all same. There is a yield variation, but that's not that's nothing to do with the organic or conventional. It's just the environmental variation. But in wheat, that is the third crop in crop rotation, we had significantly lower wheat yield in organic systems in first 2 years of conversion, and then it matched well, but in the last 2 years, we are again getting big difference between conventional and organic system. Organic system is giving lower wheat yield, and just to clarify that doubt is that we found out that it's the nitrogen, low nitrogen system present in the organic systems. I will explain that a little bit later. And then coming to the soil organic carbon. So for the simplicity, I'm just showing 2007, that was the beginning of the experiment, and then 2014. So what we found that in organic systems, we have significantly higher soil organic carbon increase than the conventional and BT conventional systems. But when I look into the subsoil, there is a depletion there is no significantly change, but we see the depletion trend. And reason for that is quite surprising when I tell to someone that to the people that are in subsoil, we are losing the carbon. I said where the carbon is going, that's the question. But that relates to the practices what we follow in India, that for sowing the wheat, farmer needs a clean field, so they uproot the cotton. So that's where we are losing a bit of the carbon. That's the only explanation I can thought of, but there could be something other reason beyond my thinking, maybe. Just to remind that it's just a 7-year experiment, so it's a very little change, and the inherent carbon was quite low. So this we found similar kind of results in Kenya, our Kenya trials. About soil pH, its systems are getting a bit alkaline in organic system in topsoil, but there is no difference in subsoil systems. This is the main thing when it comes in the nitrogen. We have the addition of significantly higher addition of nitrogen in the organic system. Some people call it soil fertility. I don't like it much because I want these nitrogen to go into the crop, in the wheat crop, where we are losing the yield. I don't want to see it in the soil. I want to see it in the crop. So, but there is a significantly lot of nitrogen present in the soil, in topsoil of organic system. But the depletion of the nitrogen in all the system, and it's not significant. Just to clarify that we are using 80% of the recommended nitrogen rate of conventional system into the organic system, and 120% of nitrogen is going into the BT system. So even we are applying low nitrogen in the organic system, we still have a lot of nitrogen present in the soil. So that's the next question for us to find out that how to get that nitrogen for wheat crop. Just to recapitulate the things is that we have a significantly soil organic carbon improvement in the topsoil of organic systems. But the thing to worry about us is that our organic management practices increasing the alkalinity of the soil. That is the problem in India. We got the similar results in Kenya, but there is no problem because the soils are acidic there, so we are happy there. But here we have to think about, like after 10 years, maybe we have to think about that, how to control that. We have more nitrogen in the topsoils compared to the conventional systems. But most, what is worrying me the most is that none of the testing system is replenishing the nutrient pool of subsoil. So all the system are using the nutrient from the subsoil pool. There, I'm aware of some studies from the Brisbane where they're trying to improve the nutrient content of subsoil. But that's I think where the next question goes, that how to manage, how to replenish the subsoil of nutrient pool of subsoil. That's for today. Thank you very much, and I'm happy. Is there any time I can have some questions?
We have time for a couple questions.
Yes, please.
I'm just curious about one of your summaries. You were showing that your organic system has resulted in a little bit of an increase in soil pH. Can you speculate why that might be?
So the question is that why the organic system is going are increasing the alkalinity of the soil. I think the simple reason is that because we are not applying any chemical synthesized fertilizers, and we are applying a lot of organic compost, 10 ton of compost for cotton and 5 ton of compost for organic. I think all the inputs are alkaline, so I think that's why it's that's the reason.
Okay, thank you.